This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Christopher?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
It's another day, another dollar, another day in paradise. You ready to talk some sports?
Yeah, let's do it. It's a re-entry Friday for me.
Okay, you've been off all week, right?
Yeah.
Been gallivanting around California.
That's correct.
All right, well, back to the bump and grind, kid.
Would you go to wine country?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's Napa. All we need to know. Stop there.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. There you go, Mass.
All right, Patriots. Chris, what are you thinking about what they're going to do this offseason? And just your general overview of what they have to do this offseason, what they will do this offseason.
Well, I think it's always more exciting to talk about additions to the team and players you've seen on other teams. But priority one for me, if I'm them, is bringing back some of my own guys, starting with Nate Solder. And some of these people aren't even free agents. Rob Gronkowski, making sure he plays. That's a priority for me. So this is one where I'm not sure it's going to be the sexiest of off seasons for them, because I think the focus is trying to retain some of their own players and shore that up. And what they really need to have is a very good draft, because I think when you look at the last couple of drafts and what they've been able to get out of the higher round picks there, early in the first couple of rounds, they just have not gotten what you need to get to sustain things. And that has, I think, in turn created trades like, say, trading a fifth and a seventh for Cassius Marsh, which when you look at it, you're like, wait a second, I could have used that fifth for Aqib Talib. Or maybe I wouldn't have hemmed and hawed so much with Michael Bennett, because that's what the Eagles gave up, was a five. Well, you didn't have a five. So now you're saying, well, will we give up the four? That's the compensatory pick? No, we don't think so. You know what? Yeah, we'll do it. What? We already have a deal with another. What? You're not going to go back on the. We'd go back on the deal. You're not going back on the deal?
We'd go back on the deal,
but you're not going to go back on the deal.
That's great.
So, I mean, that's typical Pete Carroll. I mean, you know, nice guy, but he could have gotten more value there. So, no, man of my word. But when you start to do those things where you're trying to fill in, and some of it wasn't their fault. You know, they didn't know the Derek Rivers kid was going to tear his ACL. But my overall point is I think that they need to have a really good draft and make sure that they bring back the guys they know can play for them before they start looking at bringing in guys from the outside and free agency that are going to cost a lot of money, like Stephon Gilmore did last year.
So specifically?
Yeah.
Versus anyone else on the market, you'd rather have Nate? If it was a choice between Nate Solder or Richard Sherman?
Solder.
Okay, if it's a choice, I mean, so name it. If it's a choice between Tyrann Mathieu or Nate Solder.
Now, Matthew's interesting to me. I'd still take Solder, but Mathieu is an interesting situation because I think he's the type of player they would like, and he's younger than Sherman and younger than Talib. But a lot of people were saying, well, you know, you look at it, it's $11 million for Talib if you make that deal. But if you go back and look at Matthew's deal, it's basically like the same money next year that you'd have to give me. The reason that this is coming up now with the Cardinals is that on the first day of the league year, he has a $5 million roster bonus due. And so they're not going to pay that bonus and then deal him. If they deal him, they're going to deal him, and whoever they deal him to is going to have to pay that roster bonus. So if you start to look at his contract, his base salary is $5.75. That puts you at $10.75. Then he has a $250,000 workout bonus. Well, Arizona's not paying that. So now it's $11 million for him. So would you rather have him or Talib?
Talib
has played in your system and is a true corner. Mathieu is a really interesting player.
He can play slot corner, can he?
He can play slot corner. He can do some interesting things. He's also had some issues staying on the field. He's younger. I think it's an interesting argument. I just think if you're saying, oh, you know, good thing the Patriots didn't get Talib, that's $11 million. They don't want to pay $11 million for a number two corner. Do they want to pay $11 million for a number two safety slot corner?
So back to Solder versus Mathieu.
Solder.
So Solder more than anyone else on the market.
Because I think that position, for what they do and what type of team they are, which is one that relies and hangs on the quarterback, left tackle is crucial.
Okay, so
crucial. And who's the backup? What's the backup plan? Tony Garcia?
According to Scott Zolak, the interest out there in Solder is real. It has blown him away. Could be as much as $13, $14 million a year from teams that have money and are good teams. So, like, we are just spitballing and look at teams with a lot of room who, you know,
yeah.
San Francisco feels like a natural. Houston feels like a natural. Houston, Bill O'Brien, sure. Obviously. Dwayne Brown, or I'm sorry, what was
Dwayne Brown got traded to Seahawks.
Yeah, traded to Seahawks.
Right, so there's a need there, and there's money, and there's a history, and, you know, Garoppolo and Solder seem to make sense there.
Niners got Joe Staley, though. I don't know how much, right?
Oh, they do have Joe Staley.
Yeah, so I don't know how much of a fit he'd be there. But Houston, I think, is the team you got to watch out for.
Okay. Chris, what if the contract is four years, $50 million, 25 guaranteed.
4 years for Solder?
Yep.
4 years, $50 million. Yeah, done. Good deal.
Yeah, if you do that.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, sure.
You think the team does that?
I don't know. I can't speak for them. I didn't think they'd do what they did for Gilmore. But if you let's play your game. Gilmore or Solder? Solder.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a knock on Gilmore. I'm just saying, I think when I look at that position and what's out there, I mean, that's one of the reasons the market is so high for Solder, is because that's a premium position and there's not a lot out there. Do you want to turn it over? Do you want 41-year-old Tom Brady playing behind basically, it's going to be a rookie tackle either way, if the way you're looking at it. Either you draft somebody to replace Solder, or it's Tony Garcia who didn't play a snap.
You don't trust Marcus Cannon moving over, Dante's guy?
No, I do not trust him moving over. I don't. And I wouldn't want to entrust that position to, you know, I know Fleming and Waddle are free agents too. I wouldn't look at that and say, okay, those guys are going to replace Solder. No.
I don't trust Marcus Cannon where he is. Let alone moving him to the left side.
How do you feel about the Richard Sherman stuff?
I would be interested if he's interested, if he wants to come here. I still think there's something in the tank, and people have used the Brett Grimes example of somebody who was a high-level corner and ruptured the Achilles and came back and played at a high level. I think it would be interesting from a locker room fit thing, though. I remember
this is what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
I talked
I
to
love it.
Talked to Rodney Harrison. He did the sort of media caravan for NBC out in Minnesota at that terrible, terrible Super Bowl. And I asked him this question. I said, you know, did you have to subjugate your personality to play for? And he was like, absolutely. And some guys can do it, and they're willing to do it enough. And I thought Rodney struck a good balance. He definitely subjugated it, but he still let some of it show. You know, could Sherman do that?
Do you think he could?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's kind of his own guy, and I think that's a good thing. But I'm just not sure that, again, you know, what's the thing that I think you guys have said it on here, or maybe it was Burt Breer who said it to me about Bill Belichick saying something that Urban Meyer relayed along the lines of, at this stage, I want to coach guys that I like. And, you know, I think Bill doesn't like the rock the boat guy at this stage of his career. And I think Sherman's somebody who could rock the boat. I just want to make a correction here on Matthew. That roster bonus is due the third day of the new league year. But you get the point. That's
the 16th,
why,
yeah.
This is why this is coming up, you know, because they're not going to pay him that bonus and then turn around and trade him, because then
right,
Arizona
they're on the hook for that money.
Yeah, they're
right.
On the hook for that money.
See, I don't think it's the rock the boat guy that turns Bill off.
I think he wants guys that love football and are dedicated to football and compete.
I mean, he just brought Martellus Bennett in 2 years ago.
But I think those guys straddle the line of, what do you care more about, Richard? You know.
Yeah, but Bennett hadn't won anywhere, and he didn't know any different. He's like, oh, this is the way you do it to win. Sherman's won somewhere else and would know, oh, you can have a little more fun and still win. That's the difference.
So that's why I want him, because I think that whole dynamic would be fascinating. How they work together, how they fit together. Would Richard subjugate? Would the Patriots subjugate? Who would move more, and what would they allow him to do, and what would he curtail?
Imagine that. Richard Sherman and Tom Brady on the same team.
Oh, I love
after
it.
That, you know,
you mad,
whole
bro?
After the whole you mad, bro thing.
Oh.
And after that long, extended handshake. Like, how long did it take Brady after Super Bowl 49 to shake his hand? It took a long time. Tom was really processing that.
But, Chris, overall, I think you're hitting on something that's occurring to me, is based on the money situation, which, again, they should have more room than they're acting like they do. Because I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, because no one seems to care, but over the 4 years going to last year, they spent the second least amount of money in the league. Real money. Actual cash spending, they ranked 31 out of 32 teams in the 4 years going into last year. And then they spent a lot last year. But for a team that has spent relatively little compared to the rest of the league, I don't know why we're having these money situations, but apparently they are. And so, be that as it may, it's going to be hard for them to improve this offseason. They're going to do well just to tread water and get back the guys they want to get back.
Why haven't they redone Brady yet?
That's a good question.
I mean, that'd give them a lot more room, wouldn't it?
Depending on how far out you extend it. You know, when you start looking at Tom's contract, and I think, Felge, you know this too, it's been renegotiated so many times, and what ends up happening is you're kicking the can down the road, and there's all these renegotiation bonuses, and they start to get prorated, and they start to stack up.
Well, with only 2 years left, there's less room to spread it out.
Yeah.
So it's just you're hitting
But
that.
Even on his deal now, if you go back and look at that deal, it's like there's prior signing bonus proration that's like still there, and it starts to like stack up and add up where it gets difficult to do something unless you're going to extend it.
What's his base?
His base coming up this season
14.
Is 14, but the cap is
22. Right.
Yeah.
Last year, the cap hit was 14. Like, since when did they let Brady take up a $22 million cap hit?
Since they think he was going to be done and gone. That's why, and there was going to be dead money. What they were thinking is that by the time they got to this year, there'd only be $8 million in dead money because he'd be Gonzo, or that was Bill was thinking.
Okay, then redo it.
Well, they got to extend him out and give him upfront money.
Fine, do it.
Well, I think Robert's going to.
I mean, if you, but the point is, what are you going to do now? Penalize the team? Like you're going to commit to the $22 million that again goes against everything they preach to this point. We don't give this percentage of our, you know, cap to one guy, to the quarterback.
How about Gronkowski? How deep do you dig for him? Maz has given him a Monday ultimatum to report, or Maz is going to cut him or put him on some sort of reserve list.
Yeah, I think he's really important. See, that's the other part of this in terms of cap space and bringing in guys from the outside. I believe from the beginning, I could be wrong, but I think Gronk can be swayed to keep playing. And I think a lot of it has to do with money, and it's guaranteed money. It's money that he gets where it's not like, oh boy, I better rush back from this hamstring injury because if I don't, I'm not going to get my roster bonus, you know, per game roster bonus, and I'm not going to get my incentives and, you know, all that other stuff. I think he wants some money. The way his contract is set up, you know, the money's good for this year. It's a high base, but it's one of those things where after this year, they can just cut him and say, no, we don't want to pay you next year, or you got banged up, and that's it. And so the guarantee is not really that high. I think he can be swayed with more money, and I think that might be what you have to do.
So, I mean, their offseason might just be digging deep and paying more than they want for Solder, digging deep and giving a Gronkowski incentive to come back. I mean, that might be their offseason. And then the draft, which would be kind of disappointing.
The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That was the first time that I had seen my kids really react in that way. Like, you know, Benny was crying. BB was crying. And they were sad for me. And sad for the Patriots. But I just said to him, I said, look, guys, this is a great lesson. You know, we don't always win. We try our best. And sometimes it doesn't go the way we want.
If you're watching NBC Sports Boston, they're overlaying it with a clip of Alex Guerrero rubbing down Brady at his private suite at Gillette Stadium, which Gasper has pointed out. Others have pointed out.
I have no idea why that's not a bigger deal.
Go ahead. Why is that a big deal to you?
Because it basically says that he can't do it inside the stadium. And you could say, oh, Gasper, hey, you know, you're hyperbolizing this. Well, then why is Brady saying, should we grab some chairs and cover up the windows? If this is what they do on a regular basis, wouldn't they have it down? Wouldn't there be a curtain? Wouldn't Alex not say, well, that's going to make us more conspicuous?
And your point
this
is...
This is like a big deal that nobody talks about.
Gasper, I'm with you. Your point is, Brady purposely is putting that in his documentary to show everybody, look at how they're treating me. Look at what Bill has done, that we have to schlep up to my luxury box. You know, I'm not, my trainer's not allowed in the stadium. He's not allowed in the locker room.
You're going to rub down by the sterno can.
So I have to go up to the red level and hide out in the corner by the bathroom so people can't see me through the window to get my pregame massage from my guy. Look at what Bill's doing to me. Like, that's basically the point, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's the point. You're absolutely right. But the point is, all that stuff we talked about all year long between them and in revoking privileges with Guerrero, doesn't that sort of point to it? In other words, why can't he give him that rub down in the training room?
Because Alex is out.
There you go.
And behind, how does Brady feel about it? Not good still, because he's making a point to put it in the documentary. And so, I use that as a backdrop to, I'm looking forward to episode 6. Because we know what happened with the Malcolm Butler thing. We know how the locker room feels about the Butler thing. We know how Brady feels about the locker room thing. He couldn't have given the thumbs up or liked or whatever Malcolm Butler's Twitter post fast enough. Brady was the first guy to back Butler and give him love and support that tweet. And I just wonder, in episode 6, are we going to get any subtle, like the massage in the luxury suite, are we going to get any sort of subtle statement from Brady on the way the game went down and the Butler thing and anything like that? That's what I'm looking for. Subtle little passive aggressive little things that have been going on back and forth between these two, meaning Bill and Brady, all season long.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. If he did that, like if he actually had the balls to question Belichick in his documentary.
He's not going to do it overtly, just like this massage thing was not overtly.
I'll take anything I can get.
But just enough to show us. Just like that scene was just enough to show us the dynamic with Guerrero and the team.
I'll take anything I can get. I mean, again, the Instagram, like, good enough for me. I'm in. Like, I'm going to watch the last one now, sure.
Well, I was going to watch it anyway. It just seems really interesting because it seems that the assumption was, I mean, didn't they say, Gotham Shopa said that they just assumed they were going to win and they had to change the whole ending.
Yep.
So I'm curious how they're going to end it now. That piques my curiosity. How do you flip it and how do you sort of put this happy ending on something that didn't have a happy ending?
Okay, back to your phones with Chris Gasper. Jim in Beverly's been holding on. Richard Sherman, go ahead, Jim.
Hey, guys. You know, I don't know. I don't think we're going to get Sherman now. I wanted to leave anyway. I think someone's going to pay him stupid money. But here's the other thing. So free agency, you know, starts, and they haven't done Brady. They don't know what's doing with Gronk. They got all these things that have never happened before. And Bill's in Hong Kong golfing with the lovely Linda.
Is that true?
What does that tell you? Doesn't that tell you that Jonathan's running the show?
Help us. Is Bill in Hong Kong?
First I've heard of it. Let me see what the Twitter sphere has
to
say.
No, he was on the beach with his lovely like a couple weeks ago. He's allowed to take some time off after the season, but he was in Indianapolis last week. What are you talking about? He went in Hong Kong. No. Bill's there.
Thought it was no days off.
But you do wonder, you know, the whole thing about being late on Bennett, like what was that about?
Here we go. Bill Belichick. This is from Boston.com, Patriots News, blue check mark. Bill Belichick wearing his seven rings visor, golfing with girlfriend Linda Holiday in Hong Kong.
Today?
8 hours ago.
Ay, vey. Really?
He's doing in Hong Kong.
He's in Hong Kong.
Yeah, here they are. Big smiles.
Oh, good for Bill.
It's Linda Holiday's Snapchat or Instagram.
He's in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Hong Kong.
At the Australian Golf Academy.
What?
Followed by Chinese characters.
8 hours ago is like midnight in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
I'm not going to try to figure out the time. Okay. It's daytime in the photo.
Gasper, you say good for Bill?
Yeah, good for Bill. Take some time, you know, before this free agency frenzy. I'm sure he's still reachable, you know?
You're being sarcastic, aren't you?
No, I'm being legit. Good for him.
Hong Kong.
Live your life.
Do you know what that overseas data plan costs?
What happened to no days?
Hey, he has the money, doesn't he?
No days off. Max in the truck. Go, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? The Patriots' number one priority is Nate Solder. They can't let that guy go. Tom Brady's going to be 41. He protects Tom Brady. If he walks, Brady's going to get killed in the first week. And also another quick point, Maz, you sound awful. You need to get a tea from Dunkin' Donuts.
He's been sucking on it all day, sucking on lemon and honey.
I mean, I can't tell you how many cups of tea I've had. Like about six of them.
That Nate Solder. Murray, do you remember the Nate Solder stat off the top of your head about record with him versus record without him the last couple of years?
Give me 1 second. I can pull it right up.
36-5 with, 9-5 without.
Thank you. Very good, Maz. See, Maz is smart. Since the beginning of what season do you remember? Since
2014. 2014 postseason.
Since the 2014 postseason. 36-5 with him. 9-5 without.
Correct.
And he was not. He got hurt in 15 when Brady got his brains beat in Denver that game.
Yeah.
So, look, I understand. I've come late to the Solder thing. I did not realize it was that urgent of a situation and that costly of a situation. I get it now. I understand. I just never thought that would be, you know, they're going to have to dig deep just to get him back, which just brings you back to level. Never mind improving your team. Like, that's sort of that's the sour taste that it leaves. Ronnie in Providence on a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hello,
Ronnie. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing today, guys?
Good.
All right. I just wanted to ask you guys about Kyrie because I know he's hurt, and you know, like the Jaylen Brown situation with him getting hurt last night. You know, him falling on his neck like that. Kyrie, how you think they're going to respond to that?
I don't think Kyrie's hurt.
I think he's probably talking about him sitting out that Chicago game.
Yeah, he's got lingering little things that he sits out with from time to time, but I don't think he's hurt. I think he's. I mean, is it that knee thing that they talked about in Cleveland that he was?
Yeah, he was saying, like, "Yeah, I'm going to get surgery." I mean, I think that's something that has to be managed.
He's always been a little bit of an injury concern, but I don't think he's anything beyond what he's been. Do you?
No, he's fine.
He's fine.
Please, he's fine. I have no concerns about Kyrie Irving's health right now.
And
none.
Believe it or not, thankfully, Jaylen Brown. It sounds fine.
He's in the concussion protocol, but other than that, I mean, you know, honestly, I'm not even sure it's a bad concussion. I think he dodged a bullet.
Mario in Norwood on the Patriots. Hi, Mario.
Hey, guys. You know, all the hype is around Richard Sherman for the free agency market, but if you look at the team defensively, even the last year in the Super Bowl, they have given up those 6, 7, 8 yard runs. It didn't matter who would have had a corner at Ty Law. If he was there, he wasn't going to stop those runs. Our front seven was the biggest issue I saw in I don't think anyone's been able to really fill the void ever since Vince has gone. Now,
so let me stop because your phone is bad. Is front seven a bigger need than the defensive backfield?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, so if you're asking me, you know, you can have Richard Sherman or let's say somebody like Preston Brown from Buffalo. Even though Sherman's a better player, I think I'd give me Brown. I feel like they'll figure it out at corner. I think people underestimate how important it was that Jonathan Jones got hurt in the secondary for the Patriots. I mean, he had played really well out of the slot there, and maybe they can draft somebody. They're due to hit on a draft pick. I'm not as worried. Like, I like the name. Like, look, if they get Sherman, that's cool. He's a good player. He'll help. But that caller's right. Front seven is really where they need to improve significantly.
Let me bang out a couple Bruins calls. These guys have been waiting a long time. Cameron Hampton. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hey, I'm just calling about Brad Marchand. He's kind of an underdog story to me. I think he kind of gets overlooked because of the perception the NHL has on him as a player. He's gritty, he works hard, he's got the talent. If you look back on his development, it's pretty impressive. He comes in the 2006 draft, third-round pick from Moncton. In the queue, he spends another year in the queue.
So hold on, Cameron. Thank you for the call. I'm just going to leave it right there. All right, Tyler in the car. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to, first off, are we sure Belichick's in Hong Kong? Because I was listening to Sox spring training earlier, and he was sitting next to Eckersley and La Russa at the game.
Today?
Yeah.
This guy's all over the place.
Yeah, I did see a tweet about that he was down there or was going to be down there.
So where the hell is he?
Exactly. I think he's next to spring training. He just sort of Chris Sale pitched today.
Okay. What,
I think he has a double.
What's your Bruins point?
San Diego.
What's your Bruins point, Tyler?
My point with the Bruins is that how about these young guys coming in, starting their careers here, and just the real energy around the team that they're pushing these old guys that have been here their whole careers and just making this team a lot better. The second line with Nash now.
There's a tremendous mix. They could not have predicted or willed it to work out any better than it's worked out. And I do think the young guys have pushed the old guys. The old guys playing as well as they've played together, I wouldn't expect again. But it's been, between Bergeron, just stick with Bergeron and Chara. Okay, and now Martian's on top of it, but Martian's square in his prime, so he should have more great years. But if I'm the Bruins, I take this as the last year that I'm going to get Chara and Bergeron playing as well in the same season together. And hopefully they can maximize it. But between Krejci being back and playing every night and Marchand having an MVP caliber, he's not going to win it, but you know, somewhere up there kind of season, and Bergeron and Chara, that's, you know, I wasn't expecting that, and I don't know how many more years you can expect that. On Marchand, overlooked, absolutely. In terms of an offensive talent, overlooked. Maz had the stat the other day. In the last 3 years, Gasper, NHL goal leaders, Ovechkin's one, Tarasenko's two, and now I think Marchand's third all alone.
Wow.
When we looked at it the other day, Marchand was tied for third with Patrick Kane.
Jeez.
But now I think he's third. If you look at goal scored since the beginning of the 2015 season, I guess it is, to now, it's Ovechkin, Tarasenko, Marchand.
Here's another, because Boston Sports Inf on Twitter has had a ton of them. And today he posted NHL players since the 15-16 season with more than 50 even strength goals, more than 20 power play goals, and more than 5 shorthanded goals. Brad Marchand, end of list.
That's it.
Wow.
Because Ovechkin doesn't kill penalties. I don't think he does, or he does, you know, whatever. So, I mean, like, so he's overlooked in terms of that guy. Like, in
because everyone thinks he's kind of, you know, the perception of him outside of this area is that he's just like a punk. That's it.
No, good player, but he is a punk and rides with Bergeron and is sort of a nifty little player. But no one looks at him in the goal totals and says elite, prolific, top-end scorer, which is, frankly, what he is. Here's Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, good afternoon, you guys. I've been given this a lot of thought, and I really don't want to come off as the type of Patriots fan that thinks that Bill Belichick can't do anything wrong, but I think he might have had this Garoppolo trade right. I know that a second-round draft pick really isn't anything and that he could have got more from Cleveland, but the more I think about it, the more I realize that he sent Garoppolo somewhere that he knew that Garoppolo would stay. After I'm watching all this frantic stuff about Kirk Cousins and how much the Chiefs got for a mediocre quarterback like Alex Smith, I think that he was just worried that we were going to be in a direct line if he sent Garoppolo to Cleveland for it to bite us in the butt.
Do you think, Kevin, do you think Garoppolo...
Cleveland would have franchised him.
Yeah, but hold on.
He's not going anywhere then.
Do you think Garoppolo's going to be that good?
It's tough. Didn't Bill? Bill thought he was going to be that good.
No. Bill thought he was going to be that good on his team, but I don't think Bill traded him to San Fran because he was afraid of facing him. I don't believe that's why he did that. I think he did because he likes the player and he wants to take care of the player and he liked the team that he was dealing with.
I disagree. I definitely think that shipping him somewhere where he could not hurt them was part of it.
I don't.
I do. I do think that was part. And I've said this before. I also think he wanted to send him somewhere where he would be successful, which burnishes Bill's legacy, but doesn't hurt the Patriots' immediate chances of winning.
I mean, look, I don't think he's sending him to the Jets. I mean, don't get me wrong.
No.
But the thing about Cleveland, he would have sent him to Cleveland. He sent Jamie Collins to Cleveland. I mean, he'll send guys to Cleveland. He'll send guys to bad AFC teams if it's the best deal. No.
But this one's different.
As we played with a couple times from Jay Glazer yesterday, Bill loves Garoppolo. He has a great relationship with John Lynch. And a lot of these decisions recently, Chris, unfortunately, have come down to whether Bill likes you or not. If he doesn't like you, he buries you.
And I think you're not giving Bill enough. Bill's shrewder than that.
I know he's shorter than that, but I think
he sent him somewhere where he felt he would have a chance to succeed, so he could turn around and say, "What was in the Wickersham story?"
No, I agree with that.
Of allegedly Robert Kraft running around the building, already saying, "Ooh, we might have made a mistake."
Chris,
how do you think that got in there?
I agree with that. But yes, I agree with that. But if Cleveland's offering you a first round pick, you should still take the first round pick.
Well, you should, unless you want to make sure that the guy doesn't hurt you. Here's what I think it's about. So, I think he's worried he sends him to Cleveland, and maybe that organization is not run well, and it doesn't succeed, and Garoppolo doesn't play well, and that sort of hurts him a little bit.
Okay, so all I'm saying is, it's sort of personal reasons that are getting in the way of what a shrewd decision would be. Okay,
so I think there might be some personal consideration. I think that's fair.
I do not think he was afraid of Garoppolo going to Cleveland and then shaking free and going to Denver and hurting you.
I do agree with that, but I think we've talked about this a million times, though, right? I mean, it's clear when Bill... So when he traded Seymour, he exiled him to Oakland, someplace he wasn't going to hurt him. Vrabel to Kansas City, someplace
Oakland
he wasn't going to hurt
him. That's a perfect example of Cleveland, a bad AFC team. Bill absolutely would have traded him to Cleveland. He does not fear Garoppolo in Cleveland.
But he knew that Seymour and Vrabel, that those teams were rebuilding and bad, AFC or not. Those were places at the time when he made those deals where those players could not hurt. Those teams were not good enough for those players to come back and bite him.
Exactly. Same with Cleveland.
Yeah, but a quarterback makes all the difference. So this is where I would be with Chris on this.
Not there. There. I mean, obviously.
You're the guy that always says every dog has its day.
He wasn't afraid of Cleveland coming back to bite him. He wasn't afraid of Garoppolo going to a second team closer to, you know, hurting him. No.
Well, I agree with that part. I mean, Cleveland, said Cleveland, they would have franchised him.
So that's what the caller said.
And I said it right away. I said it during the call. I said it doesn't. No, because Cleveland would have franchised. Cleveland might have franchised him three times, you know, however you want to do it. So, but I do think that there were some factors. And look, all I do is I go back to the Bledsoe thing, right? Drew Bledsoe, you covered it. You know, trades him to the Buffalo Bills in the division. Could care less in the division. I think this one, you know, was a little different. But I think Cleveland was a place he didn't want to send him, not just because it's in the AFC, but more he didn't want to see this kid fail. He wanted this kid to succeed because that helps make his case. You know, it helps his legacy.
Yes. Well, no. It helps him internally. See, Robert? Told you.
He still should have picked up the phone, though. They were desperately calling. You could have got more for the kid.
I mean, the day he made the trade, Jimmy's got a good coach.
Yeah.
That was clearly important to him.
Oh, my God. Bill was gushing about Garoppolo that day. Since when does he ever go on and on about a guy he just shipped out of here?
But again, he made the point that Jimmy's got a good coach, right? That he understood how important that was for Garoppolo's development, and he made that point. He wanted Garoppolo in a place where Garoppolo could succeed.
I agree. That's my point.
Dan in Boston. Hi, Danny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I think you guys are reading into the Brady and Guerrero thing in the luxury box a little too much here. From a different approach, maybe they always do the massages up there. So players in the locker room don't see Brady butt naked. And the window blocking, maybe as simple as the work.
Hold on, Dan. I can't let that first one go.
No, go ahead.
No. Does anyone care to start?
No, you go right ahead.
I want to hear more from him before I can actually get in on this.
So, Danny, you think that Brady does not want to have his teammates see him naked? Why?
No, maybe they don't want to see him getting a sexual massage like that. I mean, who would want to see this?
So, okay. Brady doesn't want to have his teammates see him get it on with Guerrero, but he's okay showing the world, tens of millions of viewers, him doing the exact same thing on Facebook.
Yeah, they're not actually seeing him butt naked on Facebook, though.
We're all seeing it. Now the whole world has seen him buck naked on Facebook.
I guess none of these guys shower after a game or after practice.
You want to see Brady's coconuts on Facebook.
You know, I've seen worse, Stanny. You know, I'm not afraid of his coconuts on Facebook.
All right.
See ya. Tremendous.
I think he only get.
I think it's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in the same room with another guy getting a massage like that. It could get sexual. Next thing you know, there's a release. I'm not.
If Brady's so uncomfortable, why is he putting it on the internet for the world to see? Why is he going on Good Morning America? We're like, why? That makes no sense. And Dan, I hate to break it to you, they're walking around butt-ass naked all day through there.
And they're not even talking about the Patriots. That's just like you at the gym. I mean, it's like anybody who goes to a gym, like, that's what happens at a gym.
Yes.
Like, people are walking through.
And sometimes you get a massage.
I don't know, man. In episode 4, Edelman looked uncomfortable when he walked in the room, if you ask me. And then the other thing is, I'm starting the whole, you know, getting bumped up to the luxury suite. Don't you get the sense that only happens on game day?
I have no idea.
Well, why didn't they have the window covering procedure down if it's something they do all the time?
Right.
Why is he like, oh, let's stack these chairs?
Yeah, it might be. Why? I mean, but what's your point?
No, but I think that the fact that it only happens one day a week amplifies the point that Brady wanted everyone to see it. Because if 6 out of 7 times...
He easily could have kept that scene out.
Of course he could have.
So, I mean, if he didn't want the world to see that he and Alex had to schlep around and jump through hoops to just get a massage, he wouldn't put it in there. He determines what's in that thing or not. He put it in there for a reason. And again, episode 6, I want to see if he does any little subtle slipperoo on how he feels about the Butler thing in that game and how that game went down. That's what I'm watching for.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
I just want to say on behalf of all the football fans out there, you guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you.
Really do. This is a tremendous production. And, you know, Mike, I know how hard it is to do a draft board for one team, and that's hard. You're doing it for 32 teams, as well as knowing what all the teams are looking for and who their players are, and you know, putting it all together for us. And you guys do an awesome, awesome job. I can't tell you how much information you know, you guys put out there to the fans, and I would say the league, but me and that group too. You know, in the time that you guys do this over this weekend, so you guys do a tremendous.
Think the Boston media is going to get the same treatment when he returns home, Chris, and answers question on draft night?
I would say no, but I do know in the past there was one year, it wasn't this year, I think it was last year, like on Thanksgiving, he gushed about the media crew, the beat writers, how professional they were and what a good group it was. So
he did.
Yeah, I think it was not this past season, but the season before.
Chris, did it come after a game he made a big mistake?
No, I don't think so. So they didn't ask him about the Butler thing.
Hell no! That's about nothing.
It was all about like Rich Eisen's 40 time.
Grab assing about, yeah. Deion's 40 time when he ran in 91 or whatever year it was. Yeah, it's all grab assing. And Bill kissing their ass. Bill's going to return, and it's going to be draft night or whatever, the first night he makes himself available.
Probably draft night, because the pre draft thing is normally Nick Caserio now.
So whenever it is, and someone, I hope.
Or the owners' meetings. When are the owners' meetings?
Okay, that breakfast, he's always in such a good chipper mood there at breakfast.
Well, sometimes he just passes on it, so there's like a 50-50 shot he'll do that.
Either way, the first time someone has a crack, they're going to ask him about Malcolm Butler, and he's going to pick his nose, pull out a giant booger, and flick it at the guy. But on the NFL Network, it's all hugs and kisses and roses, and show ponies and unicorns. But that'll be interesting to see this offseason.
I just realized my voice sounds normal when I snort and grunt.
Tom in Arizona on Bill Bell. Oh, and oh, by the way, we still don't know where the hell he is. The thing about Hong Kong can't be right.
Yeah, I don't think that's real.
He was at the Alabama Pro Day a couple of days ago. I saw a picture of him there with his Bill Belichick Foundation sweatshirt.
Looking at this photo. So, yes, it was from Linda Holiday's Instagram. Says they're in Hong Kong, but if you look at it, she also put okay, dot, 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 not really. So who the hell knows where they are?
He was at the spring training Red Sox game with La Russa at Eckersley.
Okay, so he's not in Hong Kong.
Either way, is he on the phone? Is he calling Richard Sherman? It doesn't seem it.
Days off! Yes. Days off! Days off! Days off! Days off! Days off! Days off! Go Pats!
It's a days off for every signing and trade that's been made over the last 48 hours.
Maybe
it's great.
Maybe he's got a doppelganger in China.
Tom in Arizona. Hi, Tom.
Hi. All right, so here's my biggest thing is
that Malcolm Butler makes plays. He made the play in the Super Bowl in 2014, and he made that play against Antonio Brown in the Steelers game like 2 years ago where he knocked the ball out of his hands in the end zone and stopped him from completing the catch.
I thought that was Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes, it was.
Again, the Giants game.
Sorry, it was. My biggest thing is not that he didn't play the first three quarters. I don't even care about that. But the last quarter where they needed a stop on that last drive, they couldn't. Nobody on the sideline, not a coach, not Brady, not anyone, could have said anything to Belichick about, hey, maybe we should put this guy in. All we need is one big play, like Hightower in last year's Super Bowl or something, anything.
Tom, I was going to say I agree 100%, but him not starting, if something happened where he couldn't start, okay, fine. But after you get out of the first quarter, then it becomes inexcusable. By the last drive of the game, maybe he's gone cold. You know, he's been standing there for 3.5, 4 hours, and, you know, what could you expect? I mean, I don't know. All I'm saying is, from everything that you hear, he didn't do anything. So he shouldn't have been benched at all to begin with. But even if he did a little something that necessitated consistency and team policy, then fine, you take the start away from him. But after a couple series, then that should be right out the window, man.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. Based on the Wes Welker thing, all he needed to do was be the punt returner. He would have missed, like, you know.
Thank you. Well, no, in this case, he was the punt. He covered the gunner.
Yeah, the one snap. But Wes got to come back. You know, they really needed somebody to fair catch that punt inside the 10.
So Bill's policy is, if you go afoul of team rules, you can't play unless I need you on special teams. Then you're out there. Which, again, makes it completely toothless and fraudulent and ridiculous.
He made it personal. Come on, he made it personal. He played the guy all year long, and then they get to the Super Bowl, and we don't like the matchups? He buried him. He made it personal.
We have got Jacob in Nashua with Gasper, Felger, and Maz. Hi, Jacob.
What's up? We have Belichick in Hong Kong or whatever. And
that's not confirmed, Jacob. Yeah, we don't think we have him in Hong Kong. Just
whatever.
In fairness to Bill.
We're worried about Richard Sherman and Tyrann Mathieu, and we have Nate Ebner, Brandon King, and these scrubs sitting there. Why don't we cut Nate Ebner? Why do we have to keep this guy? What, he's a rugby player and we have to keep him on the team?
What would you save against the cap? $8?
Like, come on, man. Ebner's a very good special team.
But you need those for the one punt that you had in the Super Bowl.
I wish I had been around for this. How excited were you, Murray, for the Brandon King signing?
Oh, as excited as the Brandon Bolden signing.
The Brandons are back.
Yes, got to have those key special teams.
Those jerseys are at the Patriot Pro Shop right now, fans.
Can't get off the field on third down in the biggest game of the year. You're going to lose to a bum like Nick Foles. But yeah, let's shore up the special teams because they're so important.
But these, you know, and we have all that Jones sound. I mean, like, you couldn't have put it better than Jones did that day. But in the Super Bowl, there was one punt and like three kickoff returns or four, something like that. There was something like a grand total of 5 or 6 kicks in which someone who covers punts would be a factor or kicks. And for that, you're going to devote how many spaces on your roster to guys who only do that, who only cover kicks? When basically, over half the time, it feels like, teams just blast the ball out of the back of the end zone. And how many returns on punts are there versus fair catches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But in fairness, special teams was a big part this year of them being able to mask that defense. And I think I saw this, I forget who had this stat. Maz, you might be able to back me up here and help me out. But teams, on average, had to drive the longest against the Patriots than any other team.
Okay, is that because of special teams? Or is that because of just one guy? Gostkowski's really good at dropping it inside the 5. Or the Pats...
Well, you got to cover the kicks, Mike.
Okay.
The guy can drop it inside the 5, and if everybody's out of their rush lane, it goes back the other way for a touchdown.
Tell me where
who
the
cares where he dropped the kick?
Tell me where they're punting from.
What do you mean, where they're punting
well,
from?
Well, I mean, if you have a good offense, don't you have a lot of plus 50 kicks? Don't you have a lot of kicks where you can pin them in deep as opposed to blasting away from your own goal line?
If you have a good punter, right, who's not going to blast those into the end zone for a touchback, and if you have good coverage that doesn't allow...
Well, and if you're
field
also,
position is a big part of how they mask that defense. And it's one of the reasons they lost the Super Bowl. To your point, there weren't enough, you know, they weren't in a situation enough to create the field position.
You're missing
to
what
help
I'm saying,
themselves.
That they're kicking from good spots because the offense is gaining first downs. They're not punting from their own 10-yard line because they don't go 3 and out at their own 20.
Sure.
So I think that's a factor, too. I don't know. I watched them all year.
Don't confuse the people.
Sorry, Jones. The special teams thing to me feels like...
And in the Super Bowl?
Come on.
I don't think it would have made a difference where they were starting.
Just whatever, we got it. Yeah, it's a fair point, Matt, to be honest.
Because I think they were
myself there like, yeah, that's not really accurate.
Because I think they were getting in no matter what.
Yeah, I know. If it was a 200-yard field, they still would have driven and scored touchdowns.
We should have done more Gunner talk in July.
All right. Do we have a Gasper Murray extravaganza tomorrow?
We do. Only for an hour and a half leading into Bruins Blackhawks. So, yeah, well, it's all of this.
So you're sandwiched between
the hockey show, and then it's us for an hour and a half, and then more hockey.
What about the Celtics show?
Oh, yeah. We'll do that from noon to just a half hour.
Yeah.
Noon.
So you're doing a half hour radio sports radio show and then an hour long Celtics show.
No, flip that. Hour-long football and nonsense deep dive into wine country with Chris, and then a half hour of Celtics talk from noon to 12:30.
See, does Murray let you grab ass? Because there's no grab ass.
Oh, yeah, our show's a lot of grab ass. Yeah, the people love
a little bit
grab
of grab
ass.
Huh? A little
it's
bit
fun.
Of grab ass.
No, it's good. It's good. The five questions, great impersonations and accents by Murray. Yeah.
Or we could do Gunner talk.
Sorry, Jones.
Gunner talk coming up after the update. 90 seconds, no commercials. Gasper, we'll listen to you tomorrow on the air. And we're back at it again. No spots here, just a quick update, and then we're right to you.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.